This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, February 23rd. Well, we got the wheat markets doing its thing. It's tried to break down a couple times over the last week or so, but really hasn't been able to do that. We haven't had much downward continuation, much downward momentum. The market will have a day where it's under some weakness, and then the next day it snaps back. So we're working our way through this seasonal time window when we tend to move lower from around the crop report, which we did put in a high right on that crop report for February, and then work our way lower. Well, the market, it has backed off somewhat, but it's not really a very well-defined downtrend. In fact, the last few days, it's actually kind of popped back up. So the wheat market showing some resilience here, clearly showing some buying on the supports and not really conforming to a seasonal pressure type of price action. Some of that, of course, is the strength showing up in corn and beans, which continue just to be really choppy until today, with the soybeans breaking out to the upside and corn deciding to tag along. But the weather in South America is anything but ideal. We are trying to get soybeans harvested in the northern part of Brazil, and it's raining. And the southern part of Brazil, where a late crop is headed into pollination, and it's they're starting to talk about a flash drought. And of course, it's been trending dry. They've had spotty rains. You know, the crop is kind of limping along. But now for these next 3 weeks, the forecast suggests you're going to have an extended period of dryness with temperatures warming up to slightly above normal. We're not intense heat, but it's going to be dry. And it seems the major weather models are all in agreement with that. So of course, as you're heading into pollination, you're putting the crop under some stress, that would take a hit for yields. And we are starting to see soybeans really pop to the upside. So you have a combination of things going on here. It's primarily row crops. Of course, there are two major things going on. First, the demand-driven market that is consistently supporting the breaks in corn and beans. China is on an absolute tear buying soybeans and corn to feed their growing hog herd. Now that they've got that figured out, they're going to commercial production primarily, and they're buying the lights out of world corn and soybean stocks. They themselves have sold off a lot of their government stocks through the weekly auctions. We know that with wheat. Very poor quality wheat has been sold consistently. They're selling everything that they offer, which is really unusual because this has been going on for years that they've offered weekly exports of wheat and they hardly sell anything because it's such poor quality. Well, everything's being sold now. And they had some flooding issues earlier in the year. There was really not very much information that came out about how much damage that did to farmland. It's kind of beginning to, I think people are settling in that there was some damage there. And of course, getting information out of China is very difficult. So it's a combination, I think, of declining supplies in China at a time when they're trying to ramp up their hog herds in a more organized way for them. And they're buying the lights out of corn and soybeans worldwide. Normally, this time of year, Brazil and Argentina would be the go-to markets. They would be booking sales and getting that lineup completed. Well, that has been slow because of the late harvest because of dryness, or excuse me, late planting because of dryness, and now the late harvest because of wetness across the northern part of Brazil. And again, now you're headed into critical stages of both corn and beans in Argentina and southern Brazil, and they're looking at some dry conditions. So this is throwing some weather, more weather issues on top of a market that is very heated because of demand. So it does appear, so yesterday, new crop soybeans and corn both broke to new highs, new contract highs, whereas the front months hardly did anything. Well, today, that's kind of reversing. The front months are leading the way higher, and soybeans have rallied up to their previous high from the January rally, whereas corn still hasn't quite done that, but it's starting to catch some bids here as well. So they are responding to the weather going on in South America, and the wheat market, which really has more of a bearish fundamental short-term outlook with FOB offers declining in Russia, the Russian government imposing pretty heavy export taxes. So you just don't see, and the farmers there are responding. They're finally selling some wheat. But we are seeing offers start to back off a little bit out of Europe as well. So even with the Russians largely absent from the market, the wheat space has kind of cooled off here over the last couple weeks. Now, I don't think wheat will go lower if corn and beans are surging to the upside. I just don't see that happening. It might be flat. Today, wheat is down a few cents. We were down about 6 or 7. Mid-session, we're down about 3. Soybeans are up 40. Corn is up 7. So you can see that the wheat market is, you know, at least coming off its lows, but not willing, very willing to participate in the upside. So as we work our way through February, which we don't have that much far to go, another week or so, let's get into early March, then we're going to have a much better idea, really, of what's going on in winter wheat. So short term, from a cash perspective, world prices have cooled off. They have backed off over the last couple of weeks. This week, it looks like they're kind of steady. So they're not continuing to surge higher. But the cold weather in the far southern plains, it would appear to me, has done far more damage than the market has quite digested yet. So the markets initially popped higher last week, and then they sold off. You know, freeze scares in winter wheat, we get them every year. 99% of the time, they're a selling opportunity. But I think this is different. When you have 1 degree in central Texas, when you have, you know, ice everywhere, it's just different. You're not going to be, farmers down there don't plant that hardy of a variety of winter wheat. And it's, I think there was significant damage, you know, and it would be across Texas, across the northern half at least, and up into Oklahoma. Then as you go further north, you had some snow cover. It still was very dry in far western Kansas, but, you know, I think that there is something to this winter kill this year. So we'll see as it starts to break dormancy, but I think that's why the wheat market is not able to really buckle here. I mean, you had some moisture that came with that storm. It wasn't huge, but it was some with the snow, but it's, I don't know. I think that there is more to this. So I think we're heading into a growing season. You know, we're trying to wrap up the growing season to some degree in South America, and it's been difficult. They have not had an easy season, to say the least, in Brazil and Argentina. So they're not, even with record soybean plantings, they're not going to cut a record soybean crop. Yields are declining as we speak, not only for mature soybeans that are trying to get harvested, but for beans further south that are trying to pollinate. So that's going to keep a bid under the corn and soybean markets. For corn, and two, as far as the late harvest of soybeans, the delayed plantings, that's going to push corn back, corn, the second season corn plantings back into a time window when the pollination for that crop would take you into the really the intense heat in South America and the dry period. So normally you would be harvesting your corn in April, May, and that would be hitting the world pipeline in June, July, and flowing to China primarily. That appears to kind of be delayed even further. So China would be relying on old crop U.S. stocks, which just simply are not going to be there. And so you could be seeing a demand-driven old crop bull market in corn and soybeans, for that matter, while the growing season is going on here in the United States. Now, these high prices, I think, are going to stick around through our planting season, and there's going to be an epic battle for acres. You're going to see just tremendous incentive to plant corn and soybeans. I think spring wheat will be a loser, cotton will be a loser, all your other minor crops will be a loser, hay probably as well. So there, you know, so you're going to be looking at a situation where the potential for massive U.S. production on the back end for new crop, but on the front end, stocks are very tight and just limping along, getting you to that new crop. That's presuming Mother Nature treats us relatively well and we don't have a weather scare here, any kind of a weather scare here in the United States, whether it's planting delays or just throughout the growing season, I think just throws gasoline on this fire. So the stars are lining up. And this is a situation, number one, and most importantly, it's demand driven. You already have insatiable demand coming from, granted, it's one country, but they're not backing off. So you have a huge demand base here. You've had production problems in wheat from Europe last year, Argentina this year. The United States was okay. We don't have burdensome stocks, but we're comfortable. And now you've got production problems in corn and beans from the other major supplier to the world. And that is happening as we speak. So you cannot have a production problem in the United States or you just blow the lid off this thing. So, you know, the question is, do you even get a correction in this market as we get into the planting season? And let's say it's an open season, you know you're going to get way more corn acres than you would have had it been, you know, had some rain delays. You know, when does the market correct to even give you a chance to get on board? And I don't know. I think we continue to move higher. The market's breaking out to new highs today in soybeans. Again, the old crop, or excuse me, the new crop did yesterday, and we rallied up to the previous high on the old crop today. We'll probably stall there and maybe get a 1 or 2 day pullback, but I think the shot across the bow has been shot, that we are going to be moving higher. We are going to take another leg up in soybeans. That'll pull corn with it, and that'll pull wheat with it. So while wheat doesn't have, from a cash perspective, a huge a bull fundamental for the next week or two, I don't think it's going to sell off if corn and beans are going higher. And then in just a couple weeks, we're going to be getting a good look at the central U.S. Plains and what the winter wheat looks like as it breaks dormancy. And then, of course, in the far southern plains, we'll have a better look at that as well. And again, if you start eliminating huge chunks of acreage for winter wheat, they're not going to graze it off. They're going to plant corn and beans. And so that's going to be a just additional bearishness for the new crop for those crops. But I obviously it'd be bullish for wheat. And so I think normally wheat would pull lower into late Feb, early March, and then you get the weather, you know, building in weather premiums as you work your way through March and April into early May. I think you're going to see that, but I don't think you're going to see much of a sell-off. I think we'll pay sideways, we'll chop, chop, chop around. Any kind of a notable pullback, I think, will be well supported. And then I would look for the wheat market to have its normal seasonal run into early May. So that's a long stretch. It takes us through March and all of April into early May. And I think that is very much in the cards. Once you get there, then you start harvest. And even if it's a short crop, you still got harvest. And then it's the harvest around the rest of the Northern Hemisphere. So I think there's a lot of excitement coming for us in this market. We've got a demand-driven market in pretty much the whole grain space. And you've got some weather events really stoking those fires. And we're about to start the growing season here in the United States, which I think could further stoke those fires. First of all, in wheat, but corn and beans, frankly, are the bigger markets, not only just volume-wise, which obviously they are, but if a price potential, again, any kind of a weather scare there just blows a lid off of this. So I don't see these markets backing off very much. Even with the harvest going on in Brazil, it's basically accounted for. China's bought it all. And the exporters have committed a huge chunk of it. So the more yield you lose there, the tighter those excess stocks are, because the higher the percentage goes of already sold corn and soybeans. I just don't see, even with a decent sized crop out of South America, that's going to have a lot of pressure in the market, simply because they just don't have a lot of excess and it's all accounted for. The ships are already lining up and waiting, and the rain is delaying it even more. So I think there's just tremendous potential in this grain space this year. I think that, again, stars are lining up. Opportunities are there. We want to take advantage of them. We don't want to miss this. Out of the money, cheap calls are certainly a way to play a weather market And on the breaks, that's where you want to be. I think with wheat, you just look at the July calls. It takes us into late June, but it takes us through that period of where I would expect the markets to be strong into early May. So those are my sentiments of the market. I clearly am becoming a pretty strong bull, acknowledging that we might get some pullbacks for whatever reason, but I don't see this market backing away. For the old crop stocks of wheat, corn, or soybeans, I think we're going to be very well supported as we move forward. Now, a couple things. Winter wheat ratings were out for some states yesterday afternoon. For Kansas, we're at 8% poor to very poor, 18% fair, 37% good, 3% excellent. Oklahoma, 14% poor to very poor, 38% fair, 47% good, 1% excellent. Montana's at 11% poor to very poor, which is up 6 from last reading. Fair is at 20%, which is down 7. Good is at 61%, that's down 1. Excellent at 8%, up 2. I think it's a little early to really give, to expect the crop condition ratings to reflect the storm that came through the far southern plains. I think they're just going to wait until we break dormancy, we start greening up or fail to green up, and then we'll get a better idea of where we're sitting as far as the winter wheat crop. Either way, there was certainly some damage, whether you killed it all or whether they plow it up or not. Maybe it's marginal, they keep it in the ground, take it to harvest, but your production of hard red winter wheat, I think, will be down notably from what was expected to be. So I think the spread between KC and Chicago will continue to work higher. And it's been performing extremely well. I expect that it will continue to perform. The July is kind of stalled out when we got to even money. I still think by the time July gets here, that spread is going to be far premium to Chicago. So there's still quite a bit to go. If we get a pullback, if you get some sort of surge in corn and beans and it pulls Chicago higher, you might see that spread kind of widen back out with Chicago over Kansas City. But to be honest, we've had those kinds of opportunities in corn and beans, and Kansas City has kept pace. So I doubt KC is going to be left in the dust if Chicago takes a run based on corn or beans. I just don't see that. I think KC is going to hold its own, and that spread will continue to work higher and regain its premium over Chicago. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.